This week in Your Parents' Basement, we are playing as a goddamn egg that can only carry three items in the world's longest fetch quest. From 1991, we're playing The Fantastic Adventures of Dizzy by Codemasters for the NES. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is the egg that fell asleep because of a wizard spell. It's Todd Brisket.
Now listen here, I've got a fantastic idea for a game. Kids love eggs. You play as a fully fertilized, anthropomorphized egg. Now, what kind of egg? I haven't any idea. But that's just the basic outline I got.
That was amazing.
Oh, that was good times. And our other co-host, he'll chase a leg of turkey if you throw it out into the air. It's Huell Hauser.
This angry character drives a hard bargain, but you'll need to meet his terms before you can complete the game.
Oh, that's the shopkeep.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, I know my Dizzy, unfortunately. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. After a successful award show, we need to haul ass to Lollapalooza. This week's game is The Fantastic Adventures of Dizzy from 1991. Released by Codemasters, it is a port for the NES of a popular British video game series for the wonky systems they had over in Europe. I have no idea what those systems are, like the Spectrum.
The ZX Spectrum.
Zed.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't even sound real, man. Apparently, Dizzy and his weird egg family were all the rage over there. The characters were created by the Oliver twins, a pair of sweet British baby boys. Things were a little different for young Steve Greenwell in America, though. I got this game because my aunt saw it on QVC, mm-hmm. and she got it for me for Christmas. And it came in a gold cart, and it had a Switch on the back of it, which lets you play it in Europe or in America, like a PAL NTSC Switch thingamajig.
So did you not have the Aladdin deck enhancer?
No, I did not have the Aladdin.
That sounds like...
Because...
Sounds like a certain move for adults to try with each other.
That should be between him this and is,
Yeah, it's also the name of a pump that people use.
Between consenting adults.
Yeah. So I had this game as a kid, and just to describe it briefly, it is an adventure and puzzle kind of game. You wander from left to right all over the little Dizzy island where they live.
Trees and
yep, there's trees. There's
mine shafts.
You can pick up items, but you can only carry three at a time, and they go from left to right on the bottom little screen there. And when you want to use an item, you have to be in the area of something. Like if you're near a wild beast and you drop the turkey, it'll actually throw the turkey out, and the beast then goes chasing it. For the most part, though, in this game, you wander around aimlessly because there is not really much direction to this one. And also, everything kills you. Everything hurts. Like whether it's a spider or flames, like the background torches hurt you in this game. The only game I've ever seen that happen.
Countless times I've been trying to make a jump and ran into the torches that are just there, decorative.
Oh yeah.
Presumably decorative until you light Dizzy on fire.
Yep. One time playing this game as a kid, I jumped off too high of a ledge and got dizzy, which you know is the name of the game, but still
kind of ironic.
Yeah, you're. You know, stunned for a couple seconds. Then a spider crawled over me and I died.
Because you couldn't move?
Nope. Could not move.
That is awesome.
So this game, it's kind of cutesy looking, but it is ridiculously tough.
Yeah.
I don't know. Ed, what was your experience with it, Huell? Since I've mentioned this game in the past and you guys had no clue what I was ever talking about.
Yeah, never heard of this before you mentioned it.
No idea what to expect. So like any responsible gamer, I read the manual first. And really their only direction is you gotta find items and use those items to solve puzzles. Mm-hmm. And that is basically the entire game. Like, there's no fighting or attacking like normal platformers or side scrollers. You just use all these items you have to find to then like counteract different enemies. Like, I found like a weed killer because there's like this piranha plant register trademark that like will block your way. So like, you can't attack it, you can't jump on it like you'd think a normal platformer. So you have to like throw weed killer on it. You find like five screens to the left somewhere. Mm-hmm. So that's like all the battle. Well, not really battles, but all of the enemies are more like puzzles that you can't get by or you'll die. So it was very interesting. Like, I did find it. I wouldn't say the gameplay is good, but like the design is like very intricate and well thought out, I guess, because everything has a solution, but you don't know where it is. It sounds confusing. Yeah. Because it is, but like, I want to say it's ambitious.
Yeah.
Maybe not the most well designed, as in like knowing what to do, but mm-hmm. I could see a lot of thought went into this for sure.
Yes. I mean, you can, it kind of makes sense since, you know, I believe this game was mostly coded by the Oliver twins, like two dudes. I think that they had some supportive staff, but you can kind of, it just doesn't feel like a game that was playtested enough in a way. Like,
yeah, it's like, no, they knew what to do, and then that's all that mattered.
No, I looked it up, and this is one where they really only coded the first like two games in the series back mm-hmm. in the late 80s, and this is a middle of the lifespan of the Dizzy the Egg series game. And
what,
this is when
like,
they.
What number is this in the?
Probably number 4 out of 8, okay.
Got
something
it.
Like that. And they are just the designers from this point out. They have a team of developers. Basically, I think it's they listen to the Oliver twins' every word because they're the master designers.
They are not only the master designers, but the slogan for Codemasters is absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Which I have no doubt
they came up with this themselves.
Yeah.
Is it one of the most pompous slogans I've ever seen?
The most humble designers mm-hmm. ever.
Well, to be fair to the Oliver twins, I think Codemasters exists as a publisher long before the Oliver twins' time.
No.
They published other games. It's not their company.
I'll tell you this right now. The manual has a bio about David and Richard Darling, mm-hmm. which are the creators of Codemasters.
Yeah.
So I don't know who these Oliver twins are.
Well,
they sound like they've been steamrolled by David and Richard Darling.
Well, no, the Oliver twins were, you know, programmers who were hired by Codemasters, or mm-hmm. I believe they started as a lot of people did back in the 80s, you could still do this, which is, you know, you and a friend could make a video game, like, just by yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Just get yourself an old computer and type away.
Yeah, just clickety-clack and you get yourself a game. So, I believe that's how they got hooked up. You know, the Oliver twins are British. That's how they got hooked up with Codemasters, which is, you know, it's a pretty prominent British video game company. I'm not, you know, it's along the lines of I always forget the one that Bullfrog, is that the one that Richard Molinox or Molino, whatever his name
yeah.
is. You know, it's along the same prominence as that. So, you know, they're kind of, this is kind of a big deal in England, like this company. They're, you know, they're cool.
Well, I got confused when you brought up the Oliver twins, because I thought it was these Darling brothers that are in the manual. So that threw me way off, because the bio is about Codemasters and its young founders, which are these other sweet baby boys named David and Richard Darling, who I have no doubt wrote their own bio because it is glowing.
You get the Darling brothers, you get the Oliver twins.
I think the Oliver twins got bamboozled here. they got pushed out of the limelight. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's weird. You can actually go on YouTube and it has the Oliver Twins have videos of them trying to play some of the earlier Dizzy games, and even they admit like they get lost.
Yeah.
The games
like
they played
the first one, the one they coded and designed solely themselves, and they're having trouble to finding stuff.
Ugh. Yeah, like three minutes in, they go, "Oh, that's a dastard trick. That's not fair. That's not proper."
Oh man.
So
the sweetest baby boys.
Yeah, it's kind of enjoyable.
Righto.
Oh, yeah, I watched some of their videos. They do have a YouTube channel where they go over some old videos and games, mm-hmm. and they're delightful chaps. Mm-hmm. Seem like real friendly guys.
Mm-hmm. Now they didn't play this one, this Fantastic Adventures of Dizzy on their channel, but this game is a little deceiving because I think almost anyone can play it for, you know, 15 to 20 minutes in progress, a decent amount. Because most of the things that you start the game off with, it's, you know, are self-evident. Like, you know, you get the key in Dizzy's room, and that's how you get out into the world. Right by there is, like, an elevator key for one of his weird egg family members. And
yeah,
there's, like, the roast turkey I mentioned in the open, and you can throw it when you get near this beast, and then it'll stop chasing you, that kind of stuff. But like once you get past the first couple screens, it's like, it's maddening. Like it's not like a Metroid game or like Castlevania 2 or the later Castlevania games where they kind of, they cordon you off from like the rest of the stages and like, you can't get into stuff too early. Like, Dizzy, you can wander all over the goddamn map and have no clue what to do.
Like, oh, I thought this was clearly just a better version of Metroid. I mean, that's the whole idea here, right?
It's the thinking eggs Metroid.
Yeah.
Since you don't, there's no fighting, there's no violence.
Using your shell.
Mm-hmm. This is a more adult Metroid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Much more.
Yeah.
Like little mice friends and egg people.
Yeah. Like, right from the start of the game, you can just go off the right side of the screen, and you can find a mine where there's a dragon, and and also water, and you just drown yourself. You just die. So,
one of the hardest first puzzles is there's, like, this pit of spikes, and I had yeah. I had a wooden board in my inventory, mm-hmm. and didn't realize I had to activate the hidden board in my inventory to then lay it across the pit of spikes that I
can. But that's not obvious at all, because in your inventory it just looks like a tiny stick.
Yeah, it looks like a 2x4.
Yeah.
And not like this huge
plank. It turns into a huge plank.
Yeah. So I ended up looking like at a video. I'm like, where do I even go? Because I was stuck. Like, I couldn't go left any further. I couldn't go right any further. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt like a moron, because it is like a cutesy kids game on its surface, but this just does not lend itself to to anything obvious.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and by the way, beyond the inventory fetch quest you're doing throughout the game, where you can only carry three items at a time.
Oh, that was the worst part of this game.
And there's easily over like 50 items in this game, and if you look at the game facts guide on this, like pretty much all of them are needed. Like there's not really anything you can leave behind. You just have
to. You have to do it in like the exact perfect order,
yeah.
To not like be running all around the map, wondering where you drop something.
Yep.
And it's not only that you can only hold three. Mm-hmm. You sort of touched on this in your intro, but there's three item boxes on the bottom of like what you can hold, and you can see them. Mm-hmm. And you say that they rotate left to right. So like, you pick up a key, it's in the left box. Mm-hmm. But you can only use your rightmost item?
Yes.
So then if you pick up a second item, it then appears in the left box, and the key would shift to the right. Mm-hmm. And then like, things would just keep shifting to the right and then falling out of your inventory if you picked up like a fourth item, and it just drops whatever's next. Like, you can't even pick up what to drop and save. It just, you just rotate through until you get the right combo. It's just like the worst control for managing inventory I've ever seen.
Yes, yes. I think on one of the Let's Play, they mentioned that they did that for simplicity's sake because they didn't want people to worry about having like a huge inventory of like a million items. But to me, that's way simpler than this, than having to haul ass across the whole map. Like
just to manage and think about every item or pickup you make, mm-hmm. and just worry about, will I need this? When will I need this again? Where did I leave it? It makes it so much worse.
Yeah, like half this game is just remembering where you left stuff.
Right.
Or like
being afraid to pick something up.
Yeah, and also because you can only carry three things at a time, of course, you know, you're not going to remember, oh, that crossbow that I dropped 25 minutes ago, maybe that can help me shoot these trolls from outside the castle, like that kind of stuff.
Or if you don't have your rope, you can't jump across certain gaps.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you jump across a gap to go somewhere else and then need to backtrack, but then you'd drop the rope somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
after you'd swung across, you'd then have to go back and get it. It's like, oh,
yeah,
why?
this game just would have been less frustrating at the very least if they just, you know, gave you a proper inventory, like with a, you know, a graphical text adventure or something like that.
Yeah. Like, I did like it. I played it a good amount, but I feel like I would have stuck with it a little longer this week if I could just hold on to things.
Yes.
Well, that's part of the issue, is that it is a nice, a quaint little adventure game with item management, but the thing is, it's half adventure game, half platformer, and the platforming parts are kind of terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So, yeah. You know, they kind of got the adventure game part down, but they screwed it up on the platforming part.
Mm-hmm.
So that, what would that make, like 25% of a game?
I mean, to go back to the obvious comparison, just like in Castlevania, you can only jump like a set distance in front of you and behind you. Except Dizzy kind of rolls at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like he feels like the controls are a little slippery, I'd say.
Like, yeah, it's very imprecise with the jumping.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a bunch of times, because you load screen by screen, like if you go all the way left on one screen, it just loads a new screen.
Oh,
and
God.
There's multiple times where I'm trying to make a jump to the right, but the jump is all the way to the right of the screen. So if you have to hit it by like one pixel, and if you miss it, you go all the way to the right and load a new screen. So you have to go all the way to the left and load a new screen again to try the jump again. Mm-hmm. And usually you're going to miss it like four times in a row. Because you need to get the exact positioning to not then load the screen to the right of you, and it was awful.
Oh God, it's even worse if you get to the mines in the game, because
I got to one of those.
At various points in the mines, you have to jump up, which forces the next screen to load, and then left. Like, so, but really you can't adjust in midair, so you have to make a jump to the up and left from the bottom screen.
Just
and
blindly.
Then, yeah, it's a blind leap.
the rare blind leap up.
Yes, yes.
You don't get that very often.
And the thing is, like, most of the times when you have to do those leaps, like, it's, you know, there aren't pits and you're not going to die and there's not, like, monsters. But it's still just so soul draining. It's just still sucks, like, to have to make the attempt the same jump four times because you fell down the ledge.
It's the worst kind of gaming.
Yeah, and I'd say the third frustrating thing, slash the thing that really ups the difficulty, is the stars. The goddamn stars.
Oh, stars.
Yeah, the whole purpose of this game.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't even know about, right?
No. The game.
The manual tells you.
Oh, does it?
Well,
I mean, that's your guy's problem.
There are 100 stars on this game, and there's another version of this game that has 250 stars.
Yeah, actually, I saw a video of that. I'm like, what is this madness?
Yeah,
250.
There's a re-release in 1993 that ups the stars to 250. But they're just floating in the air, kind of like coins in a Mario game. And you have to, but the thing is, you have to collect every single one of them to unlock a barrier at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, then there's no way around it. Like you can't get to the last boss. You can't play the jumping game you need to beat them. And you do not save your weird looking egg girlfriend.
Yeah, the whole purpose of these is to collect these 100 stars to beat the game. Mm-hmm. And they're all like some of them are just in the air, but some of them are blocked by puzzles. So you have to go around the entire map with all the right items to find them all.
Mm-hmm. By the way, did we mention how excellent the game design is on this?
Well, what part of it?
The stars.
No?
The stars.
All the stars. Those all were twins.
I don't know where you're getting at here.
The sweet boys, the prodigies.
No, I know who they are, but what do you mean that the game design?
I'm being sarcastic,
of
man.
The start. Okay. Gotcha. I thought you were, but I couldn't tell. So you're saying that using stars you collect in a platformer is innovative and new?
Well, the innovative and new part of this, and this is what blows everyone's minds that we just talked about, is how you have to collect every single one, and you're going to miss some, no matter what.
Right, exactly. That's the new groundbreaking part of this game.
Yeah.
that you can't beat it.
I will say, the furthest I ever got in this game, I got down to 24 or 25 stars. Mm. And I managed, you know, to get through a decent amount of it. But even then, like, I got stuck. I had no idea what to do from that point. And this was, the reason I stuck with this game for so long was, it was one of the first games I ever got. So, you know, my options were kind of slim.
You thought this was the pinnacle of gaming.
Oh, yes, I mean, yes.
You couldn't tell, you couldn't even imagine it getting better. Mm-hmm. So this was your jam.
This was it.
This was his Mario brother.
Well, thank God I had Mario Brothers before this.
Why didn't Dizzy get a movie?
I mean, it can't be any worse.
Nope.
But by the way, so my aunt, I wasn't joking. She legitimately bought this off of QVC, which was kind of nice of her. It was nice that she was thinking of me. She continued this for several years. Let me know if you guys have heard of some of these other wonderful games. There was Big Nose the Caveman.
Hmm. No.
What?
Which is kind of, I don't know. It's kind of like a really bad version of, like, Joe and Mac or something like that. And, of course, the sequel, Big Nose Freaks Out. there was this weird game called Ultimate Stuntman.
Hmm.
Which it was not very ultimate.
Were these on QVC? Games sold on QVC?
Yes, all of them. So it was they were all on QVC. Ultimate Stuntman, I'm looking at it right now. It has quite possibly the best box art of any Nintendo game. Just take a look at that, guys.
Oh, awesome.
Todd.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yeah, I would like for you to describe that box art in words, if you can.
There's some kind of Ferrari driving in the foreground, going really fast. A giant Dolph Lundgren with a machine gun standing in the background.
Oh, sure.
An explosion exploding behind him. Mm-hmm. Some eagle that's flying down, swooping down behind him. Mm-hmm. And you have a giant squid, red squid with green tentacles coming out of his pants.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes, you are not embellishing any of that. That is the front of Ultimate Stuntman. Unfortunately, the game kind of plays like a horrible version of Contra. So
I would basically describe this cover as Back Sack's wet dream.
Oh, God.
And look at this thing.
Sack would love the cover, hate the game.
Oh, he he wouldn't even need the game.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I will say he would be able to beat the hell out of this game because I don't remember it being that tough. And there is one game that I got that was legitimately really good and really fun, and that was Micro Machines.
Ah.
Oh, yes, that's a good one.
Yes. Good one. That had 8 playable characters, a bunch of bunch of different environments you could get into, and it was kind of cool. Yeah. Outside of that, just to get into the history of the Dizzy series, kind of petered out in the 16-bit era, but the Olivers have been nice chaps and done things like developing mobile games and releasing some of the past games that they did for public domain usage. Codemasters is still around as they've segued from the Micro Machines series to proper and popular racing titles. They are still quite British as they also produce cricket games. So, they got that.
Very British.
Yes. That should be their new title instead of
their motto.
Yes.
Very British.
Absolutely British.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Instead of brilliant, you see, they don't
absolutely.
They'd only have to change like 6 letters on the sign.
British.
Also, by the way, I'm noticing in my copy of the manual that I'm looking at here, Huel, you can call 1-900-YO-DUDES.
Yes.
Ooh.
We've all talked about how stuck we've been and how difficult this is. Mm-hmm. Luckily, they have this helpline just waiting.
If you get stuck in this incredible adventure, you can always get help on the YO DUDES helpline.
Like it's $1.75. Per yep. minute, perhaps?
Call should only be made with the permission of the person who pays the phone bill. And call $1.75 for the first minute and 90 cents per minute for every minute after that.
Oh boy.
That's very close to another number that Steve likes to call often.
But more expensive.
But more expensive, yes.
Well, I do like to call 1-900-YA-DUDES sometimes, because who doesn't need a pick-me-up?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like this, I all joking aside, I will say this wasn't quite as horrible as I remember. The graphics are good. The music is a little repetitive, but I actually
like the music in this.
It's
very fun and jaunty.
Yeah, it's okay for a little bit. It just gets annoying when when it loops around. I think it's like a 15 or 30 second loop. And you're just listening to that.
And you're just wandering around an area trying to figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. Which is most of this game.
Yeah. And it's tough. Even my NES standards, the long play / speed run I saw of it online was about 1 hour 20 minutes, which is pretty...
That is quite long.
Yeah.
Considering there's... I mean, for a speed run... And considering there's no saving and no passwords.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that. No, yeah, that's what also makes this tough.
It's a normal NES game.
Yeah. So a speedrunner does it in an hour and whatever it was, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And that means a normal NES player, it would take them like 3 days to figure all this stuff out. So you have to leave
your
system on. To
know exactly where to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. And in the manual...
Ugh.
In the manual, they didn't even leave you blank pages to draw a map.
No. It's crazy.
Yeah. This is arguably like one of the few games that does require you to make notes or draw a map or something like that.
It's like the original Myst.
Yeah, and of course there's nothing in here like there's.
Yeah. Well, you know, if not for this game, Myst would not exist.
Mm. Exactly.
I think that's a pretty.
And isn't it weird how this game is a perfect, they probably had this in mind when they designed it, but it's like a perfect allegory for the concentration camps in World War II.
Oh, boy.
Just collecting any object you can find, using it to improve your life. It's pretty clear what they were going for.
Mm. There's no other possible interpretation.
Only being able to hold three things at a time.
Mm-hmm. All the yarmulkes.
It's like the three countries at the powers of the Axis.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Very Same symbolic. Thing. Deep game. Mm-hmm. Deep.
Mm-hmm. Very story driven. All right. On that note, so did you guys have a Huel? Did you have any other notes on this bad boy here?
Well, we note that it's probably what the fourth game in the series about. Mm-hmm. And the manual decides to catch you up on everything that's happened.
Oh God!
Up until this point, and there is an F ton of story in this thing.
Oh, so story driven.
So there is 15 pages of story in about a 28 page manual. Mm-hmm. So half the manual is talking about everything that's happened, all these crazy dizzy characters. There's the evil wizard Zax. You got Grand Dizzy.
How many times do Daisy and Dizzy?
You got
mate.
You got Dozy. You got Dora. You got Denzel.
Denzel? Washington?
Denzel. Yeah. A lot wider. Pogi the Floofle.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
some sort of mouse head with hands and feet.
Pogi the
Floofle. Doesn't seem to have internal organs. Mm-hmm. Some sort of rock troll thing.
Yeah. And also, like, this...
So many characters.
This long story section isn't, like... It doesn't contain hints or anything like that.
No, it's just straight up a story. Mm-hmm. And I didn't read any of it. I just looked at pictures.
Zax had turned the land evil. Why are the Yolk folk still good? Why aren't we evil like the birds? Maybe it's our thick shells, he thought. Zax's spells couldn't penetrate our minds.
Yeah, I think Yolk folks is one of my favorite parts of the lore.
Mm, it's good.
Of the Dizzy franchise. Mm-hmm. It's quite a name.
Listen, nowadays Hollywood is making all sorts of hot IP. They're reviving IP. This is, you joke, but this should be next.
Once that baby fetus starts forming inside of you, they kick you out of the town. They exonerate you, or whatever it's called, excommunicate you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The yoke land.
Complete opposite. It's lovely, man.
Excommunicate you. Once that fetus starts growing in your egg belly.
All animals are lovely if you look at them in the right way.
Oh, jeez.
That's what Dylan thinks. Don't listen to him.
Oh, Dylan.
Mm. Burner, burp.
Todd, did you have any other things to say about this one?
I would say that instead of playing this game, what you should do is put a Nintendo controller down on the ground, pop in Mario Brothers 3, mm-hmm. play that one with your feet, while at the same time playing the Secret of Monkey Island on a computer.
Oh.
And doing those two things at the same time is going to be more fun than this game.
Hmm.
And more enjoyable.
Roughly equivalent to the experience of playing Dizzy, though.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention a couple other small things. This isn't just an awkward puzzle platform game. There's also minecart racing at one point where you take a minecart down a track. One of my least favorite things that pops up in a whole bunch of different games, which is you have to jump on bubbles to get to the surface.
Ugh.
Is that your bat? Is that your cave bats, Steve?
Well, cave bats are also high atop the list of things I don't like, but yeah, this game, that might be my least favorite thing, whether it's in this one or in Sonic.
There's an entire game that's designed around that.
Is there?
Bubble Bobble.
Oh, yeah. I did not care for that in Bubble Bobble either.
No.
It's
the entire game.
And also Sonic 2. Or I can't remember if it was Sonic 2 or Sonic. It's this little indie darling series with a hedgehog. And at one point, you're like in an underwater stage, and you gotta get out, otherwise you're going to drown. And God, the music just gets louder and louder, and you get more panicked. And I didn't care for that either.
Ugh.
So, anyways, that's all I got on Dizzy. So,
we should
move right along here to the email portion of the show. Todd, did you receive any emails?
I did.
Oh man.
I did. They write. Hey, you fellas. I'm a brand new writer and definitely not related to any previous writer. Can you tell me what your favorite Saturday morning cartoon is that is based on a video game IP? Please answer this before my next brand selling meeting on Tuesday. Your pal, Tommy Sagas.
Oh. Thanks, Tommy.
Yeah. Tommy Sagas.
There's a few to choose from.
Yeah. I got this email early before you guys have heard it.
Oh, okay.
So I looked up a list. So I have a couple ready.
I mean, I think the most obvious one, it's hard to beat, but it's not all cartoons, is of course the Super Mario Brothers Super Hour.
Yes, that is the one that comes to mind for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Probably unbeatable, but you can go ahead and try.
Unbeatable, yes.
I mean, you got Captain Lou, man. What are you going to do?
Oh well, that is the Super Mario Super Show. That's different.
Is that what I said?
That is. Well, what did you say?
I think I said Super Hour.
Yeah, that was just the cartoon one, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, they showed cartoons in the Super Show.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Look, man, I did a lot
hard
of
to beat that one.
Did a lot of drugs back then. It's hard to remember sometimes. And by drugs, I mean tricks.
Ooh.
And by tricks, I mean the cereal.
Mm. Yeah.
And by cereal, I mean...
You mean H.
I mean H. Riding the horse. Steve, did you have an answer?
I mean, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show with Captain Lou is definitely the best cartoon kind of thing. But if the asker means solely, it has to be all animated all the time. I guess I'd probably have to go with the Captain N thing they had on.
Oh, yeah.
What is this?
Captain N, the Game Master.
Yeah, even
that's
though...
That's where it had that life-size Game Boy that walked around with him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he had a bunch of weird stuff, and, like, I don't know, they took liberties with, like all of the characters they were able to get. So there's, like...
Simon Belmont?
Yeah, Simon Belmont is, like...
Kid Icarus.
Yeah, Belmont is, like, some weird, foppish, like, guy who's, like, afraid of everything, I believe.
Oh, it fits right in with the character.
Mm-hmm.
Got Kid Ick in that one?
Yep. Mega Man. I mean,
Mother Brain is a villain. King Hippo is a villain.
Mm-hmm. Eggplant Wizard.
There's a nice amalgamation of video games in this one.
I never
watched this one that much, so I'm not all that familiar.
It was basically just like the leftover Nintendo properties after Mario Brothers, just jam them together. But they also, you know how Mario, like on Fridays they would show like a Zelda episode.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes they'd have other properties.
Yeah. In this one, like the Friday, the other thing was a Dragon Warrior for some reason. So there was like a for a hot moment, there's like a Dragon Warrior cartoon on TV, which seems odd, but...
Oh, this is, yeah, the Dragon Quest in...
Yes, yes.
In Japan. I don't see it called Dragon Warrior, but it's an anime. Mm-hmm. Or as you would call it at the time, a Japanimation.
Right, the more politically correct term.
Mm-hmm.
Did the N stand for anything?
You know.
You know? Oh, okay. A few things come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and they also, they would go to a whole bunch of other games. Like, they went into backdrops of, like, Final Fantasy and Donkey Kong and Burger Time, even though you wouldn't see characters from any of those games. I'm looking at Wikipedia. Apparently there's an episode set in Bo Jackson Baseball.
What?
Which I don't even remember that as a video game. Never mind, you know.
Well, Bo knows video games.
Well, he does. Yeah. All right, well, Huel, did you receive any mail?
Oh, you didn't let me answer.
Yeah, Todd, what's yours?
Oh, yeah, what was yours there?
Well, I was going to say, an underrated show of the time, just because it's so weird, is the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, starring Jaleel White from Family Matters.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow.
It was Jaleel White.
It was a bizarre show, but it was like surprisingly funny for a kid to watch. Mm. It's just weird. That's not my pick, though. There's tons of other shows. I looked at the list. There's shows all over the place, like Street Fighters. You got your Pac-Mans. You got your Fatal Furies. And nowadays, you got Angry Birds Toons, which Pac-Man. I watched a couple of those. They're pretty funny. Watched those with the kids. Mm-hmm. But my pick is going to be Earthworm Jim.
Oh, true.
It's surprisingly well
good
done.
Point. Mm. It didn't have like a Ren and Stimpy vibe. It's just like completely out there.
Yeah.
I remember that now. Yeah, I think we touched on that when we did our episode.
Mm. Good pick. There used to be like a Q-Bert show. That was a fun time. Well, it was on like that Pac-Man show. Like the Pac-Man show was also like another grab bag of like throw 15 characters in.
Older games, I guess.
Yeah. I mean,
Atari properties.
This does remind me that none of these shows is better than the 7 minutes of Futurama with the Nintendo characters and other video game characters. But you know, Futurama is like peak TV.
Yeah, well,
animated anyway.
Now they have you know, really, I would say Wreck-It Ralph. You know, that movie, that little indie joint that came out.
Mm-hmm.
Great homage to all the classic games.
Oh.
Yeah, it was fun.
I have not seen this little indie darling, and I will maybe I'll put it in my Netflix queue next time I'm watching Netflix.
It's worth a look see. I think it just got a little tiny bit overhyped.
Take it out for a spin. Look under its hood.
Kick the tires a bit.
Yeah. All right. Huel, did you receive any emails?
I did, in fact. I got an email from this writer named ScooterButt42.
Oh, Scooty.
Scooty writes in, "Dear YPB, well, fine. She done did it. She thinks she can just have me back? Well, not this time, sister. I'm my own man. Cooter Slut's right. She did drop the ball on this one. She'll never know what it's like to be with this ScooterButt. New year, new me, baby. I hope that other guy knows how to Google how to get over ScooterButt 42, because she's going to need it. She's going to need the whole first page of results, I bet. Also, if you could make an adventure game starring a humanoid piece of food, what would it be? Defiantly, ScooterButt 42. Good ask, Scooty.
So he's basically asking if we want to make Aqua Teen Hunger Force the game.
Yeah, that has to be the tie-in here.
An adventure game with a humanoid piece of food. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the first thing that obviously comes to mind is a long, thick, smooth banana man.
That does obviously come to mind.
I mean, you think of all the possibilities. I mean,
he could have
arms and legs.
I think of two melons who are best friends. They're never apart.
Snuggle right up against each other.
Exactly. They, hold hands, and they, you know what else they do? They solve crimes.
Sometimes stuff gets stuck between them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's how they solve puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, my choice is going to be a single cup of Activia.
Okay. Yeah.
Strawberry, if you please.
Hmm. Maybe that could be part of it. It's like a whole cast of characters. They're all different flavors.
At least we know this.
I don't want to step on your idea.
At least, sometimes I wonder who this week's sponsor is. But then it's clear it was Activia. I didn't know we were in the pocket of Big Yogurt now.
Big Diaper.
Okay. I only received one mail. Hey, guys, if I could give out an award for best podcast, I'd give it to you. In fact, I can, because I invented podcasts. Best wishes, Chris Hardwick.
Oh, thank you.
P.S. I'll be hosting After Your Parents' Basement, a reaction show, once you finish recording this week. So if you could clean up, that would be nice.
I don't remember getting approval for this.
Well, he doesn't need approval. He's just a fan.
All right.
He's a fan with a $1 million empire.
Fans is making money off of other people's creativity.
It's very, very amazeballs that he is doing this.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Turn into At Basement. 12 p.m. Comedy Central.
After the pod.
Mm-hmm. After Your Parents' Basement.
Yeah, they should make a podcast about other podcasts.
Yeah, and just talk about them.
Just talk about them.
Mm-hmm. Nah, it'll never work.
Mm. Only if it was every day.
Chris, I don't mind you writing in to say that you like the show, but I would like to again mention that that was not a question, and do not write back unless you have a question. So
I'll tell you this.
Yeah, we have strict rules here about we only take emails that have questions in them. Mm-hmm. Once you get through your thick skull there, Mr. Chris Hardwick.
Yes. Sir, Chris Hardhead is more like it.
Yeah. Come on, man.
I'm only doing this because he's a friend of the show. I could read the literally hundreds and hundreds of emails we get every day about how great the show is. But
yeah, and all those nudes that people send in.
Yes, but those aren't questions. So
yeah.
Well,
they don't get read.
Some of the news I have questions about, but, you know, that's also it. That isn't the same thing.
Also, can you send nudes is not a qualifying question either.
No. Huel is tired of receiving those.
Burnout, man.
And his pictures are posted on our website, so go check it out.
There is a bio section.
Yes.
And measurements, by the way.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Todd, did we receive and ask the Sweet Boys this week?
You know what? We did.
Oh.
So let's ask the Sweet Boys. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write into us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with the subject ask, followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. And the first ask, I have two asks. Let's see if we get through one first. and if we can go on to the second one. First ask comes from an anonymous, and they write, received a leather bag for Christmas, but I'm a vegetarian going vegan? ?
Oh.
My older stepsister got me a Kate Spade bag for Christmas, which is leather. It's a beautiful bag, but I don't buy leather products myself, as I'm a vegetarian. I have been for 4 years, but I'm transitioning to be vegan. I think my stepsister didn't think about me being a vegetarian when she got it. Is it okay for me to use it? I would feel bad to tell her I don't want it because I'm vegetarian. What would you do?
Well, there's a very obvious answer. You don't have to eat the bag. You just have to carry stuff in it.
Yeah, just put stuff in there.
That's the last thing you should be doing. So,
that's a good point.
You don't. There's no problem here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think people usually eat leather bags, so it's kind of a strange question.
Or any material bag.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rude not to use the bag because it was a gift and all that. But you're a vegetarian, so you're probably rude and don't mind sharing your opinion about meat on a regular basis anyway. So just don't use the bag. In fact, why don't you bring up how you're not using the bag at Thanksgiving dinner this year?
Mm-hmm.
Just be like, hey.
I'm surprised there's any hesitation at all.
Yeah. Thanks for your gift of murder. I'm going to put it right in the middle of this turkey. I'm going to use it to stuff the turkey this year. Death on death.
Yeah, should fill it up full of red paint and then just slam it down on the table and tell your stepsister what's what about this death bag.
Also, don't eat it if it's full of paint.
Mmm.
Another tip.
Mmm.
So wise.
Yeah, don't eat it, but you can sniff it.
Yes. Yes, you can.
All right, then. Well, was there another?
I think we got that one all wrapped up.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the second one. This one also comes from Anonymous.
Oh.
It's a short and sweet one. They ask, what did ladies use for a mirror before there was mirrors? You know, to do their makeup and stuff?
Huh. I think they just looked at each other and described themselves to the other person. Or describe the other person to themselves.
Ah.
Am I saying this right? So you'd always have to have a person. There'd have to be two of everyone. Not of everyone, but have someone else answer. Why can't I say this correctly?
I think what they would do is they would, they would look in puddles or pools of water. But then someone else would come up behind them and slap the back of their head, and then their face would go into the water.
Classic.
So, I mean, that always happens.
Got
him. That always happens.
Yep.
That's what you get for trying to look pretty.
Yep. That's
why. Now you're all wet.
Birds thought you were smart.
It was pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's why people invented glass.
Mm-hmm. Glass and shiny things.
It's odd that they invented like eyeliner and lipstick before that, though.
Oh, that's what you always didn't you
it's
take?
That's what's heavily implied here.
You take ancient history class, and you know how the cavemen first step one when you're a cave woman. Sorry, he asked about ladies. What did ladies use? When you're a cave woman, step one is take out your lip gloss. Mm-hmm. Draw a wildebeest on the cave wall, and secondly, apply it to your face.
Right. Because that fulfills step two, getting a man. So you need step one before you get step two.
Right.
Then step three, go outside and hunt some dinosaurs.
Yep.
No, that's what you get the man for.
Oh, true.
Everything's easy.
You know, there had to be some overlap there when man was, you know, around the same time as dinosaur.
Right.
Well, there had to have been, right?
Brontosaurus steaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that documentary, The Flintstones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the great inventions went fire, wheel, and lipstick. Mm-hmm. In that order.
And then those cave women's just started whoring it up around the cave town.
Pop out them babies.
Good times, good times. Ah, so 100%
serious podcast.
Yeah. So I think we helped a lot.
I'm glad that people listen to this show not only for the the entertainment, the video games, but also the education.
Yeah. I'm glad they're looking to us for these answers. These historically accurate answers.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's about all this week. I'm spent. Yeah. I'm helped out.
Yeah, that's good. That's good with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like those asks.
Yeah. You want to give the asks email one more time there, Todd?
Sure. ParentsBasementPodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
That's also where you can send your general comments and concerns. Just make sure to use the subject line of the email so that we know mm-hmm. that you have asks. So, well, Huel, did you have anything else to say before we sign off here?
Mean, evil, and nasty. That's how his friends describe his good points.
Oh, are we talking about the Wizard Zax or bad, bad Leroy Brown?
It could be a certain podcast host.
Ooh. Good times. Todd, anything else from you before we sign off here?
Sure. 3 weeks after the conclusion of the Fantastic Adventures of Dizzy, Dizzy the Egg committed suicide after being influenced by the suicide of the singer in his favorite egg rock band, Humpty Dumpty Cobain.
Oh!
Took a dark turn as we signed off here.
Odd end of the series.
But listen, I think the snifferoo this week is it's going to cheer people up. It's going to get them up off their feet and dancing and stuff. So here it is.
All right, we're here just sitting in the car. I want you to show me if you can get far.
Step on the gas, step on the gas.
Step on the brakes, step on the brakes.
Now step on the gas, step on the gas.
When I say boom, boom, boom,
say bam, bam, bam. No pause in between.
Come on, let's jam.
Check and turn the signal to the right.
Rappa the Rapper, great new music video game. Once you've played it, you can't get it out of your head.
Check and turn the signals to the right.
Every single day stress comes in every way, and got no time for nobody. My style is rich, though fat and witch. We'll make a cake today that looks rich.
Crack, crack the egg into the bowl.
Crack, crack, crack the egg into the bowl.
Barappa the Rapper, the great new music video game.
We're making us a cake that you've never seen before.
Once you've played it, you can't get it out of your head.
The other day, I was called a little turkey.
But I'm a chicken, got it? You beef jerky?
PlayStation.
Ribbit, ribbit, I cannot hold it. The last little toilet, I already sold it. Ribbit, ribbit, in the rain or in the snow, I got the funky flow. But now I really gotta go. In the rain or in the snow.
In the rain or in the snow, I got the funky flow.
Rap of the Rapper, a great new music video game.
In the rain or in the snow, you got the funky flow.
Once you played it, you really you can't get it out of your head.
The toilet over there will bring you luck, so give it up.
Big thing.